charmed with its constant understatement of romantic and perilous incidents and conditions. But the original penciled pages show that, even in copying, the strong bent of the writer to be brief has often led to the exclusion of facts that enhance the interest of exciting situations, and sometimes the omission robs her own heroism of due emphasis. I have restored one example of this in a footnote following the perilous voyage down the Mississippi. G. W. Cable. 1. Secession. New Orleans, December 1, 1860. I understand it now. Keeping journals is for those who cannot or dare not speak out. So I shall set up a journal, being only a rather lonely young girl in a very small and hated minority. On my return here in November, after a foreign voyage, an absence of many months, I found myself behind in knowledge of the political conflict, but heard the dread sounds of disunion and war muttered in threatening tones. Surely no native-born woman loves her country better than I love America. The blood of one of its revolutionary patriots flows in my veins, and it is the Union for which he pledged his life, fortune, and sacred honor that I love, not any divided or special section of it. So I have been reading attentively and seeking light from foreigners and natives on all questions at issue. Living from birth in slave countries, both foreign and American, and passing through one slave insurrection in early childhood, the saddest and also the pleasantest features of slavery have been familiar. If the South goes to war for slavery, slavery is doomed in this country. To say so is like opposing one drop to a roaring torrent. Sunday, December 1, 1860. In this season for peace, I had hoped for a lull in the excitement, yet this day has been full of bitterness. Come, G, said Mrs. Blank at breakfast, leave your church for today, and come with us to hear Dr. Blank on the situation. He will convince you. It is good to be convinced, I said. I will go. The church was crowded to suffocation with the elite of New Orleans. The preacher's text was, "Shall we have fellowship with the stool of iniquity, which frameth mischief as a law?" The sermon was over at last, and then followed a prayer. Forever blessed be the fathers of the Episcopal Church for giving us a fixed liturgy. When we met at dinner, Mrs. F. exclaimed, "Now, G., you heard him prove from the Bible that slavery is right, and that therefore secession is. Were you not convinced?" I said, "I was so busy thinking how completely it proved, too, that Brigham Young is right about polygamy, that it quite weakened the force of the argument for me." This raised a laugh and covered my retreat. January 26, 1861. The solemn boom of cannon today announced that the convention have passed the ordinance of secession. We must take a reef in our patriotism and narrow it down to state limits. Mine still sticks out all around the borders of the state. It will be bad if New Orleans should secede from Louisiana and set up for herself. Then, indeed, I would be cabined, cribbed, confined. The faces in the house are jubilant today. Why is it so easy for them, and not for me, to ring out the old, ring in the new? I am out of place. January 28, Monday. Sunday has now got to be a day of special excitement. The gentlemen save all the sensational papers to regale us with at the late Sunday breakfast. Rob opened the battle yesterday morning by saying to me in his most aggressive manner, "Gee, I believe these are your sentiments," and then he read aloud an article from the Journal des Débats, expressing in rather contemptuous terms the fact that France will follow the policy of non-intervention. When I answered, "Well, what do you expect? This is not their quarrel," he raved at me, ending by a declaration that he would willingly pay my passage to foreign parts if I would like to go. "Rob," said his father, "keep cool. Don't let that threat excite you. Cotton is king. Just wait till they feel the pinch a little. Their tone will change." I went to Trinity Church. Some Union people who are not Episcopalians go there now because the pastor has not so much chance to rail at the Lord when things are not going to suit. But yesterday,